Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between, everything that there is, ever was. You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show. And if it's your first time here, hello, glad you stumbled upon us. Let me give you a little rundown about what we do. We are the unofficial slash official show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. Joining with me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, are you ready? Are you feeling the summer fever? Has it finally hit Saskatchewan?
I'm actually feeling quite bad because we sent all of our wildfire smoke to New York City today. And it was very orange and very gross in New York. And that's how it was here a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, Mark. I remember I showed you a picture of how the sky was looking around these parks. That's all now moved to the East Coast. So John Mariano, I don't think, is very happy with me for sending all the smoke his way. So I feel bad about that, and I apologize for that. I also wanted to give a special shout-out on tonight's show to our good friend Sean McGinnity, who's been going through kind of a rough patch. And he's got a tough day tomorrow. His best friend and doggy companion, Luna, is going to be crossing that rainbow bridge tomorrow. And I just want to read a little passage he sent me today. He said he would always listen to the show when he was out walking Luna. It was the thing that they did every single week. He'd say, come on, Luna, this one's running long. Let's go take another spin around the block. And then he said, thanked us for running long. So it meant he got more time with Luna on those walks. So Sean, you're definitely in our thoughts here tonight, and Luna as well. She was the best girl, and I'm sorry that as you hear this on Friday, it'll be the day after. But I just wanted to send this one out to Sean and Luna, two devoted listeners of the show, and God bless you.
To Sean and Luna, big hearts, thoughts, everything with you, Sean. Appreciate you sending that in, regardless of the circumstances, man. So be thinking about you. So. With that in mind, we owe it to him, and we owe it to Luna to put on a great show. And Corey, you and I, we do shows together, just ourselves, pretty okay. I think we do it all right, but it's even average. Better. Yeah, I mean, I would say slightly above average, maybe just only slightly, but it really it's a wonder the shows that we come out with when we have awesome guests joining us, and we do have an awesome guest joining us. In fact, we have a frequenter joining us with us on the show, our Patreon collaborator slash just big fan, all around good dude, Josh Caldwell. How you doing, Josh? Welcome back to the show.
I'm fantastic. The quick turnaround. I'm so pleased that you're willing to have me back so quickly.
You are you've joined the ranks as kind of unofficial member of the main panel. So there you go.
Pantheon of the preferable parishioners.
Exactly. I like that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, Josh is on the last two from the live show, and then here tonight. And then he's back in a couple of weeks with our new $20 patron. Maybe we should give our patrons a shout out there, Mr. Mark.
We should give our patrons a shout out. We should absolutely do that. So real quick, at the top of the list, by the way, you guys, we do have a Patreon. We've talked about it ad nauseum at this point, but hey, I'm going to keep mentioning it just in case you didn't hear me the first couple of hundred times. We have a Patreon, and if you want to go over there and check it out, find a tier for you. I guarantee you will have something that's going to be pretty fun. Or if you just want to kick some support our way, we're definitely not going to be mad at that, and we thank you. Here's just a list of our Patreons that contribute to us. Matt Lacasse, our buddy Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rave of Flav, who was on the live show. Hello, Rave of Flav. And of course, Josh, as I mentioned, aforementioned Josh, Greg Zito, Chaz Mataz, aka Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, and of course our new Patreon, Michael Griffiths. Thank you so much, you guys.
Oh, and don't forget Jeff Brewer as well.
And Jeff Brewer, of course. I was saving the best for last. I would never.
There you go,
Jeff Brewer. There you are, Jeff Brewer. So thank you everyone for your contributions, your continued contributions, keeping the support alive, keeping the lights on. And again, you guys, if you're not on our Patreon, go give it a gander. Go take a look. I guarantee you we have something that is right for you. So there you have it. All right. Moving quite along. Corey, there has got to be something going on in Van Halen news. I just call it a hunch. What do you think is going down?
Well, there's a few articles on the Van Halen news desk. Of course, we recommend everybody go check out www.vhnd.com to get all your Van Halen news. Oh, we got audio from Van Halen's show from Ipswich, England, May 1978. That was really cool. The complete performance from the US US Festival, of course, that celebrated 40 years. So everyone should go check that out. There's also a link for the first two episodes of the Van Halen 1984 documentary, which is really, really incredibly well done. I'm really impressed that just a fan in his spare time decided to make this all-encompassing documentary about Van Halen in 1984 and did a fantastic job. New episodes, I believe, dropping one a week now. So hopefully episode three is on its way. We also got a great article about Wolfie, of course. His new Mammoth album is set to drop in August. And he says that the original Frankenstrat guitar is going to be making its return on the track Take a Bow from that album. Not only the Frankenstrat, but actually not just the guitar, but also the original Marshall head that he used for the original Van Halen albums and one of the original cabinets. So basically everything he used for the original classic albums. And he said, I'll read this quote verbatim, and you can hear that on certain bends. It's kind of crazy. There's certain notes where it's like, wow, that literally sounds like Van Halen one. It's crazy.
I'm not mad about that. That is, if that's not enough to lure you in and be like, if I wasn't curious about this album now, I certainly am. That's going to make a lot of old school and particular Van Halen fans out there very, very happy. But hey, I'm one as well. I've been looking forward to new Mammoth stuff for a good while now. And that is just a little extra flavoring, you know, just to get you in the mood for such a meal. I cannot wait to hear that album. Cannot wait to hear the sound that he talks about, because Van Halen one, that's classic. I mean, that's the one that starts it all for most of us for this journey, especially. But I mean, that album still to me withstands the test of time. Josh, I know I'm a Van Halen two guy, but yeah.
Well, one and two are pretty close. Josh, yes. Are you a fan of Mammoth?
I am. I'm curious to hear how it's evolved, you know, from one album to the next. Mm-hmm. Particularly, he's had a pretty good touring cycle behind it. And he's actually, I guess, did some touring in between sessions. So I'm curious to hear how it all turns out.
Yeah, he's doing some shows with Metallica on their No Repeat Weekend tour. He did a tour with Alter Bridge. So yeah, he's certainly keeping busy. Let's see what else we got. Sammy commemorated the 35th anniversary of OU812 by sharing a performance of When It's Love from the 95 Balance Tour. That was actually really cool. And David Lee Roth, everybody's favorite, David Lee Roth, released another solo recording, this time of Atomic Punk. But earlier in the month, we didn't get to this yet, he released like a little interpretive dance video on his YouTube channel. He's done this for a couple of songs, but he has this little clip here called Atomic to his solo version of Atomic Punk. I just wanted to play it for you here real quick. It's 21 seconds long. This is David Lee Roth from his YouTube channel with Atomic. Nobody rules these streets at night but me. Nobody.
Well, that's so, special.
That's a thing he did.
Yeah, that exists. That's for those of you that cannot see what we saw, please go check that out for yourself. Very quick little clip, David Lee Roth, Atomic. And then for the lurkers in the chat, if you didn't see that before, yeah, I hope you had fun with that, because I don't know what to make of that. Josh, what do you make of that?
It looks like a holdover from the No Holds Barbecue or whatever that was. It was out a number of years ago. Everything with Dave, I think it has to come with interpretive. I think it'd be hard to really nail anything down and give it an apt description of what I just saw right now.
He's got a ton on here,
but
he really does.
This one interests me. Friends in Low Places. Let's see what that's like. So, Grandpa, get away from the camcorder. You don't need to put this on YouTube. It's like, I got this great idea. I'm going to play a Garth Brooks song. I'm going to buy a Whopper, and I'm going to offer it to a fake dog.
You know, this whole, I was thinking maybe he did just a quick clip covering Friends in Low Places. That's what I thought this was going to be.
That's what I thought, too, yeah.
That's not at all what that was.
What was with the camo? Did he hunt down the DoorDash driver?
Yeah, like.
Is that buried somewhere? I mean.
Yeah, for those that couldn't see that, he's decked out in camo gear like he's gone hunting. And as someone who lives in the United States South, that's like a standard look. But I'm confused as to the context behind it, because yeah, it looked like he ordered Burger King from Uber Eats, and I don't get it. I don't get any of what just happened. I get that less than that shorter segment we saw at the top. Like, I don't, what's he doing? Like, what is Dave? What are you doing? if you're listening out there, Dave, I just got to know, man. Well, first of all, thank you for your contributions to music and rock and roll. Second, what are you doing?
Sky in your world? Like, we got to get the DLR cast guys back on the show and just ask them, like, are you checking out the YouTube channel? Because we don't get what Grandpa Dave is doing anymore.
Well, yeah, please. Hey, if the guys in the DLR cast are listening, please drop us a line and then let's work out something to where we can have an honest to God conversation, because you guys would know a lot more accurately than what we would know, because I'm at a loss from all that, Corey. if there's nothing else in Van Halen news, then we can just go right into the polls.
Yeah, let's move on. So we did two songs on the live show for the folks that joined us live. Thank you very much. And for those that listened afterwards, again, thank you. So we did two tracks, both Sammy tracks. Eagles Fly from Live Right Here Right Now, which is kind of cool. We wanted to spin one of the bonus tracks for sure, and it was the first thing we spun. We spun it naturally. So that did okay, 69.6%. What Dreams Are Made Of, 30.4%. This Dream Is Over. That's a little, I would have been more in the high 70s, low 80s for that one.
Yeah.
I like that one better than Give to Live, which is actually on the album proper. So mm-hmm. that one kind of surprised me a bit. How about you, Mark?
That's a real big surprise considering, we didn't get a lot of votes on this particular one. Based on the usual amount of voting. So that tells me that not a lot of people were familiar maybe with Eagles Fly, or the ones that did check it out were just kind of lukewarm on it. Or then whoever the 69% or 0.6 were that said, hey, that's what Dreams Are Made Of. Like, oh, okay, obviously you were just as pleasantly surprised as the rest of us that might not have been familiar with this tune, but nevertheless, yeah, I'm not super, super shocked by this poll result, but I am a little bit surprised that, because like you, I would have said at most maybe in the mid upper 70s, but certainly not a 69.6%. So that is a very interesting poll result. So let's hear what the people are saying about it real quick. You guys, if you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, the tweets that are the poll results, then join our Patreon. You'll get them for sure joined. So I'm going to start with one of our number one fellas. We have many number ones, but here's one of them, Kevin Brown. And he couldn't join us for the live show, so instead he sends us a, and I'm quoting him, a Samifesto. So here we go. Time for a hashtag Samifesto. If I had a time machine that could also jump locations, I'd go back in time to be at this concert just so I could have seen this performance. No kidding. This is for me one of the best five or so vocal performances Sammy ever gave live. The way his voice cracks at the end adds even more pathos to the whole piece. Before I ever saw the video, I actually thought he was playing a 12 string because of how rich the tone is. It sounds even better on this vinyl reissue. Have to disagree with the panel that the balanced version is superior. For me, this blows it away. I actually agree with that. It's great when the band comes in, but the version online in Toronto, A, the guitar doesn't sound nearly as good, and B, Sammy is so flat on that last fly note. I won't argue. I remember buying the Jump CD single in the tin case, and this was one of the additional tracks. I'm pretty sure I had that before I heard the album and had never heard Eagles Fly before. I loved it instantly and have loved it ever since. It's my favorite Sammy solo song by miles. And then he concludes with, I get the argument some would make that it's not really a Van Halen song, but it's absolutely perfect mid-set palate cleanser. And Sammy just absolutely nails it to the wall. One of my all-time favorite live recordings and definitely not re-recorded. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Do you agree with the sentiment that Kevin says, the both of you, about this being the live Eagles Fly superior to the recorded version?
Oh, yeah, I agree with that sentiment. And I kind of see where he's coming from on the balance one, too, like especially on that flat fly note at the end. But I do like when the band kicks in. That's why I think I would kind of gravitate towards that one. But I can definitely I definitely know where Kevin's coming from. All time favorite live recordings, definitely not re-recorded. I hope that's true. I know Sammy said in his book he had to re-sing the entire concert, but I'm hoping that they lifted this from the concert and they didn't use the re-record on it. Certainly sounds like it's live on the night. So I get where Kev's coming from. How about you, Josh?
Well, I'd say I have to agree. I mean, it's probably my favorite Sammy song of his career. Mm. You know, combining Montrose, Van Halen, and his solo. Yeah, I think that's one song that he really, it touched a lot of people, or maybe not a lot of people, but it certainly is a standout in hearing a raw kind of naked version of him just up there with an acoustic guitar. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You also failed to mention, Mark, that Kevin also did a little artwork for us Scott Kahaskin. and his album You Did Me Last Night, and he put a cow in there too in the
yeah, I didn't know how to describe that, so I was just like, you guys go head over to our Twitter and the Podcast Will Rock and check under the poll results for Eagles Fly. It's right there up front. Kevin Brown's awesome artwork with the OU812 and the cow. That's fun. Or no, I'm sorry. Let's see. And a lot of the tweets in this poll result we had on the panel with us, so I'll just skip over those real quick. But Jeff Brewer says, I didn't downvote it, but if I was forced to downvote a certain percentage, this one probably would go down. It's a good song and performance, but it's not really Van Halen. And it's not one of the Van Halen songs that I'm immune from feeling fatigued due to overexposure. Interesting. He said he didn't downvote it and yet did not have a high praise review. So I guess it was, for Jeff, good enough. And that's fair. That's totally fair. Mm-hmm. But that's it's interesting perspective there. So, that's essentially it. I'll just read, just one more for fun on this one from our friend, Tom Umbruster.
Hey, Tom's.
Tom says, I got goosebumps every time the song restarted. No higher praise than erect body hair in Van Halen land.
Erect a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll agree that the full band outro from the Balance, pay-per-view is a hair better. Hashtag what dreams are made of. So I don't know, something about that performance when we're, maybe it was because of the circumstances of us listening to it, maybe I was just in the mood for a particular Sammy track that's raw, but I don't know, Eagles Fly, this live version really landed with me. But I can understand why people were kind of just sort of meh on it, and the poll results definitely show. So there you go. We'll move on from Eagles Fly. Like I said, if you want your tweet guaranteed read, join the Patreon. So moving on to our other song that we covered, as Corey mentioned, we did Pound Cake from Live Here Right Now. Corey, I'm just going to tell you right now, this did not land where I thought it was going to land, because I was thinking maybe this, with all the manifestations in the past, with all the talk, the chatter, that Pound Cake would be one of the upper high voted top tier Van Halen tracks that we've done. This is kind of surprising because, yes, the majority voted What Dreams Are Made Of, but only an 89.1%, whilst 10.9, almost 11% voted This Dream Is Over. Your thoughts and concerns, please.
I got to think maybe it's just the live version. Maybe it didn't land with some people. Maybe some people agreed with me that they kind of wish that the we had the rhythm riff underneath the solo like we do on the recorded version. I know some people, I didn't explain that very well. And actually, I got to thank our good friend, Mr. Brewer, for calling me out. I don't mean that Sammy should be playing guitar on any Van Halen records. He definitely shouldn't. And if he doesn't like playing guitar, absolutely, he shouldn't be playing guitar live either. I'm just saying I missed that riff underneath the solo of Pound Cake in the live setting. I mean, the good part is you get to really hear Eddie fucking nail that solo. It's a fantastic solo, and hear Mikey just going to town on that bass, but I just missed the main riff underneath. That's all. That's all I was getting at there. Maybe a few people agreed with me, decided I'm just going to downvote the live one. When they spin the record version, that'll be my big upvote. But yeah, I still thought this should be 95.5 easy, right? They should challenge, you know, Little Guitars, which is still 98.6, our leading vote getter. It should challenge that for the top vote getter, right? 89% is just criminal.
I mean, it's, yeah, it criminal. That's definitely a word for it. But I mean, this is not the first time we have been burned by poll results that we thought were a sure thing. But nothing is ever sure in the fandom community of Van Halen, as it turns out. So I have to know what people are saying. Matt Lacasse says the Eddie call and response on the live pod nails it. His own best rhythm guitar player. Great, great show opener. Hashtag what dreams are made of. So there you go. There's some positivity. I mean, we're probably going to see a lot of positive notes on this poll results, given that it is 89% what dreams are made of. But still, I'm very curious to see if anyone from this from the results say otherwise. Again, we had a lot of people on the panel discuss this song, so I'll kind of go through them. But Sean from Sean Geek and Fast Fret Podcast. Sean McGinnity, what's up? He says, this song has Alex and Mikey with a driving rhythm, a splash of cheesecake from Sammy, and fucking Ed on a fucking drill. I mean, come on. I saw them on this tour opening with this song, and man, did they sound so fine. I don't doubt it. I mean, just the drill alone, man, I would just be losing my mind. Like, I know what that is. I know what that means. I know what it means. It's awesome. I've never gotten to see Van Halen live, and I never will. And that's sad, but I can imagine, especially a younger me, seeing that and hearing it live would be pretty transcending, at least for me. So good call there, Sean. Mm-hmm. Our friend Kevin Brown, once again, here he goes. He says, banging version of a killer song. I don't mind the solo without the rhythm in a live setting. I think it gives Ed's part more room to breathe. Also, the lyrics are punk as fuck. How uncool was it to write a monogamous love song over this track, even if he wasn't living it? Hashtag what dreams are fucking made of. And such killer vocals from Sammy. Top 10 Van Halen for this guy. So there you go. An astounding standing ovation from Kevin Brown on this song. Let's see. Moving on now. Jeff Brewer says, despite I sure love my baby's pound cake being Sammy's laziest and most blatant pudendal metaphor, this song is undeniably good. Ed's not doing a shared he's not doing a shred clinic here. He's just showing off his natural ability to create incredibly interesting music. Ed's first official wah pedal use. Ed did use a little wah pedal in his Cabo Wabo solo, but it was very subtle. And he also made use of his new guitar's neck pickup a lot on this album. True. Before this album, most of his signature guitars only had one working pickup. I do prefer his playing without the wah pedal. I mean, yeah, because I think it's easy to kind of get unflattered or feel oversaturated with the wah pedal because people like Jimi Hendrix did it so often, but did it so well and sort of made it his thing. So now these days, or even a few many years ago, hearing people overuse the wah pedal, and overuse is subjective, but follow me here. The overuse of the wah pedal gave people maybe a bad taste in their mouth, so to speak. Corey, Josh, whenever you hear the wah pedal being utilized in a given rock song, do you immediately think of Jimi Hendrix, or are you just following the song?
I don't think of Hendrix. I do think that there's times certain guitar players will hide some sloppy playing behind it. We can do a flurry of notes. I won't mention anyone. And
it's me. But, it's me, Josh. It's okay.
But it's another tool. It's another voicing. I do like on the particularly the Cabo Wabo solo, Ed used a little wah on that. It was more as a filter, and you can hear it inflect a little bit, a real subtle way. I say, you know, just whatever you need to do to get your point across, you know, use it. No, don't limit yourself.
That's a good point.
You know, I don't think of Jimi Hendrix. I usually think of Kirk Hammett.
Ah, yeah. Well, also, yes.
So maybe that, Zach Wilde, right?
Yeah. Zach is, I almost said he's toned down on using the wah a lot these days, but that is not true. So yeah, there you go. Zach Wilde, Hammett, and Hendrix. Those are your wah pedal trifecta, but there's so many more. Chasmataz says, any downvotes gonna pound you right in the cake hole? Well, Chaz, prepare your pounding fist, because there's a lot of cake holes that decided that this was not what dreams are made of. So have at it, buddy, and let us know how it goes. So let's see. Greg Zito was on the panel, Scott Monroe, all them. So there you go. We can move on. Actually, I'll read this one from our friend Gene Hickey. Absolute killer version of one of my favorite Van Halen songs. I selfishly wanted another Eddie solo as they worked toward the big ending, but that is in no way a complaint. And he congratulates me because I guess I really wanted to manifest the song. That was true. So there we go. Or unless he's congratulating me on my recent engagement. I'm not sure.
I think that was it. Yeah.
Either way, thank you. So there you go. those are some of the tweets from our polls. Again, you guys, if you want tweet.
You know what, yes. Mike Griffith, brand new patron. Oh. We should read his tweet, right?
Did I miss it? Did you go? Oh, there you are. My bad, Mike Griffith, new Patreon. Trust me, I'll get you. I'll have you on the regular rotation, my guy. He says, I played the shit out of this track when For Unlawful came out. I was at the Right Here, Right Now show first night. And like a true high school fanboy breaking the T-shirt rules, I proudly wore my Van Halen Pound Cake Definition T-shirt during the show. Van Hagar in their prime. Here's the thing, man. I know, and this is me speaking as a musician in town of a, you know, highly acclaimed music city. I know the rule about you're not supposed to wear the shirt of the band you're going to go see. The thing is, people don't take into account. You're buying merch at the show. Are you expected to just hold that merch in your hand the entire time? And by merch, I mean, like, if you buy a T-shirt, you buy a shirt, you're just going to hold it and just be awkwardly hold it? Or can you just throw it on top of what you got going on? And if you don't want to throw it on top, then okay, go to the restroom real quick, take off whatever shirt you got on, throw on the new one, and then throw the old one back over it so that people don't know. So it's a secret. It's a secret you have. I did all that to say, I've never understood why that rule is so bad. Like, I don't even know who made that rule. I think, some pretentious snobs out there made that rule.
You know who did make the rule? No, musicians, because if I'm not a musician, but if I was performing a show and I looked down the crowd and I saw a bunch of kids wearing my shirt, that'd be pretty fucking cool. Like, I never understood that rule either. If I'm going to a Van Halen show, I want to wear a Van Halen shirt.
Like, exactly.
It's snobby butt fuckers. Sure, they might be all, oh, it's not cool to wear the fucking band. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And good on you, Mike, wearing your Pound Cake Definition shirt to Live Right Here, Right Now show. That's fantastic.
It is. And it also says to the band, and like, and I'm speaking from experience here, if I'm in a band and I see you out in the crowd wearing the shirt, that tells me, hey, you bought you paid money for that shirt. You're supporting us. I actively see you are supporting this group. So that's awesome. I want to see more of it. It'll put me in a better mood. So, and I can guarantee you most musicians feel that way. So really the only people that think it isn't cool are pretentious fans. So stop it. Just stop it. If you want to wear the shirt of the band you want to go see, just wear it. They are not going to like call you out. I promise.
Now, Josh, where do you land on that whole thing?
If you're opposed to that, you know, go smoke a blunt with some carpet lint in it. Do us all a favor.
Carpet blunts. There you go. Mm. But yeah, all that to say, wear your shirt, wear whatever your shirt at whatever show you want to, and listen to Van Halen. So
that's right.
There you have it. Those are the poll results from our live shows. Thank you, everyone who tweeted. If you want your tweet guaranteed read, join our Patreon. It will happen. So thank you very much. And now, Corey. Time to get to the main meat of the show, and we do that by starting with everyone's favorite. Take a drink, please. Manifestations. There we are. I tell you, these are getting a little bit more tricky. The further along we go down the wheel, the more songs we take off the wheel and we land on, because we've called our shot. You especially, Corey, you've called your shot several times now, and I've gotten a few songs I've been wanting to hear. So now it just comes to like, God, what do I manifest now? I'm going to start with you, Corey. What particular Van Halen are you just itching for this show?
Well, I tell you what, and I don't want to say too much, but I may be starting another podcast, and I may be starting another podcast with a fellow by the name of Kevin Brown. And Kevin Brown loves the Kinks. And I like the Kinks too. And I'm thinking it's time for You Really Got Me from Van Halen 1. So that's my manifestation. I just kind of want to go through our Discord server, which all of our patrons have access to, and they can post their manifestations. So Scott Monroe wants to hear Little Dreamer. Man, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all.
Right on.
Ryan Powell wants to hear Aftershock. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. Mr. Brewer wants to hear that trash filler song, The Dream Is Over. And that's a bit of a inside joke, because someone on our Twitter who's never heard the show saw our poll and said, oh, The Dream Is Over. That's just trash album filler. Like, yo, okay, buddy, whatever.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for your input.
And Kevin Brown actually wants to manifest Amsterdam. Given recent events, it seems fitting to him. Aww. So I guess in honor of your pending nuptials. He wants to hear the show that's going to bring Christy back onto the show. So those are their manifestations. We got Josh on here with us here tonight. Josh, what you in the mood for, my friend?
Let's do Hang 'Em High.
Ooh, you're very nice. Hang 'Em down. Love it.
Had that one ready to go. Yeah. I am also going to manifest a Van Halen one track, and it's one I believe I've manifested before, but you know how I do. If I really want to hear it, I really want to talk about it, then I'm just going to keep doing it. So Jamie's Crying. I'm ready to hear some Jamie's Crying. That'll be I think that one's worth talking about. That's what I'll say. So going to manifest those. We've got two for Van Halen one. We will either get very close or way, way off, as we are one to do here with this wheel, because the wheel be fickle. But there you have it. Our manifests are locked in. We are ready to spin the wheel. Corey, if Sammy's ready, if you're ready to prime it, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a shuffle here. Let's see. Sean has four letters. Luna has four letters. Let's do this one for Luna. Pick something good. Let's go. 1, 2, M-A-R-K. 3, 4. And I guess. Here we go. Oh, I think it's going to be a balanced track. Oh, it's very close. No, it's actually Girl Gone Bad from 1984. All right. And actually, the last time we spun a 1984 track, Mark, this was a long, long time ago. I forgot to play the instrumental before Jump of 1984. I promised listeners, I said the next time we spin a 1984 song, I'll play the instrumental 1984 before it. So we're getting a little bonus here tonight, folks. You're going to get 1984 and then Girl Gone Bad.
A little twofer. Before we begin with that, I'll just ask Josh, without I guess tipping your hat or showing your hand, anything you want to add to Girl Gone Bad or talk about right before we go into the song?
Well, Girl Gone Bad is probably one of my favorites. Solo sections Van Halen's ever performed. I mean, all the instruments underneath it are it's amazing. It's kind of like if there was a time that you if there was a correlation between Cream and Van Halen, that's probably that section there probably best epitomizes it.
That's a really that's a cool connection to make there. And I'm trying to remember the last time I actually listened to Girl Gone Bad, and I'm trying to pull that section into my brain. That'll give me something to look forward to really listen to. Let me see if I can hear the Cream sort of connection or what have you, or maybe just the vibe.
I'd be
very, very, very interested in that, because Cream was a great band. So
there you have it. Girl Gone Bad is the eighth track off of 1984. I think, let me just look this up here. Thanks to our good friend CJ Chilvers at the Van Halen Encyclopedia. He says, Eddie got the inspiration for the song's main riff while on tour in South America in 1983. Not wanting to wake his sleeping wife while in their hotel room, he slipped into the closet and hummed the riff into a pocket cassette recorder. So that's thoughtful.
That was before voice memos on our iPhones. Yeah. You had to do it the hard way, kids. That's how we used to roll.
And it kind of appropriate, we were talking about the 40th anniversary of the US Festival. I believe Van Halen premiered the song instrumentally at the US Festival. So.
Oh, wow.
And you really have no recollection of this one, do you, Mark?
I mean, no, I know I've heard it, and I can hear a lot of it in my brain, but I was just trying to find the particular section that Josh is talking about, and my brain decided no, you don't quite know how that sounds, so it'll come back to me.
All right, well, before we get to Girl Gone Bad, let's play 1984 from 1984.
Right on.
Thank you. So a little weird. That's not leading right into Jump as it does on the album, but
I know it's like, it's all right there, but yeah, that was our whoops. We forgot to do that. nevertheless though, it's, I like that. It's very, very simple. Just very little interlude right before we get to a little bit of a synth to warm you up before you get the main synth song from Van Halen. So, hey, look, you guys, all of those who might not have been so crazy about the song Jump because it's more of Eddie on keys than guitar. He was warning you in this in the 1984 track. He was warning you what was coming ahead. So you only have yourself to blame for being surprised that Jump was going to be so synth heavy. So, you know, look at it that way.
If the Brown sound could be applied to keyboards and synth, this would be it. Because in this era, almost all the, you know, keyboard sounds were kind of tinny, and this this is really, it's thick, and it doesn't leave me cold like most synth sounds from that time.
Yeah, good call. The synth sounded great. Again, top-notch production from Ted Templeman. Great way to kick off the album, and normally he would lead into Jump, but tonight it's going to lead into Girl Gone Bad. What do you think of that intro there, Mark? It's almost like they're playing almost three different tempos. Like Alex on the cymbals is really right, and then Eddie's a little slower on the guitar, and Mikey's kind of in between the two on the bass. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it definitely feels like a big setup for something bigger, you know? Because if you also notice, and maybe it's just because of how we're listening to it via streaming, I don't know, but the sound quality of it is kind of sounds a little subtle, like it's kind of just waiting in the wings a little bit, and it's gonna grow, but that is, yeah, as you say, it does almost feel like three different tempos and then merging into one. Hey, that's the beauty of Van Halen for keeping it interesting, not just doing all the paint by numbers riffing that they can do and do very, very well, more so than others. But this one in particular, yeah, I guess I hadn't really thought of it until you just mentioned it. It's like, yeah, they are, all three of them are kind of just doing their own thing and just gradually building up to converge, if you will. What do you think, Josh?
This is part of my Cream reference, is how all three
are
doing something separately. You know, I'm sure, you know, directing Ginger Baker was probably a difficult thing to, you know, why don't you play like this, and probably tell you, why don't you go fuck off?
And, probably.
This is I just picture a guy putting on his gloves and his hands slowly balling into a fist, and someone's going to get their ass kicked. And this is a great intro.
So right away, we take a look at Dave's lyrics on this one. He's giving us a pretty clear image of what we're supposed to understand about Girl Gone Bad. But here's the thing. We at And the Podcast Will Rock are not here to kink shame sex workers. We're not here to shame anybody for what profession they might be a part of. So I don't know if I'm going to say Girl Gone Bad because of circumstances that this song would have us believe. Nevertheless, I get it. I understand what Dave's trying to say, because he's painting a very clear image. And sometimes Dave is really good about that. What do you think so far about these opening lines?
Yeah, I think this is one of the few lyrics one of the lyrics by Dave that is straightforward. There isn't any double meaning. This is basically, you know, sounds like the same girl that was on Journey's Don't Stop Believin' took a little dark, twisted turn in this song, and she's finding another way to pay the bills.
I just read something funny online. Somebody's looking at the context of the song saying, "Girl doesn't want to be with me. She must be a prostitute." There's no other explanation.
Clearly, I can see Dave that's clear. Yeah, he would go down the road, and you know, as the song continues on, yeah, like it's that certainly can be an interpretation of what he's saying here.
Well, especially in the second verse when we get
right,
to that,
that's what I mean.
Hear the lyrics; it really makes sense then. Musically, Mark, is this like top of the level for this album? Like, they're really cooking here.
That's exactly what this is a cook. I mean, it's just absolute Van Halen rocking the best way. It's hard for me to really describe it other than saying, like, it sounds like a Van Halen rock song, you know, because like it has all the and even that's not to say that they pigeonhole themselves into one small little bubble on like this is the Van Halen sound and nothing more. Like, no. They've proven that they are a lot more diverse than that. However, when you say it sounds like a good standard Van Halen rock riff. You know, standard being a subjective term there, but I mean, this sounds like the stuff that Eddie and Alex do when they're just kind of like playing around. They're just kind of just digging around, and shows their swing side, shows mm-hmm. their rocking side. It's just like it's utilizing all of their things that they do pretty well. And it's not really, it's not over the top. It's not, at least so far, it's not. And it's not anything overly complicated. Those little, the time signature, I guess, is the same. But Eddie, Alex, and Mike are playing little, you know, different things before they converge into one, which is cool. But yeah, it's to me, this sounds like what you would expect, especially at this point on this album, from a good rockin' Van Halen song. Josh, you have any thing to add to that?
This sounds like something that was birthed out of Dr. Ross' basement, you know. Yeah. I mean, this is it's got a lot of jamming element to it. At times it sounds like Alex and Ed are kind of egging each other on, like, well, listen to this fill, okay, well, I'll follow that with this, and it's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah.
Getting lots of Mikey in the mix, too. I like hearing that, too. Yeah. It's fantastic. Right, I'm going to let Mark talk about the guitar solo, but I was just fascinated by Alex's cymbal work there. And Kevin Brown and I were talking on a separate call about something, talking about, you know, the best drummers and their use of cymbals. And I really loved what Alex was doing on the cymbals. Like, it was a little bit of everything, right? He's tapping a little bit. He's really banging the crash at one point. Just fantastic stuff.
I tell you, my attention diverted from Eddie to both Alex and Mikey, because they don't really, I mean, Eddie's doing his thing, you know, and we all know what his thing is, and he's doing it very well, but Alex and Michael are still just like holding down the rhythm. And yet it sounds like they're playing their own solos by their own right. And they're not, they're just keeping the melody and the rhythm like down packed while Eddie is just ripping and shredding. And that's not easy to do, and to keep it cohesive and not like turn out a huge sloppy mess. You have to be really, really good at what you're doing, and you have to be musically aware of your structural surroundings, so to speak, to really play in that realm. So overall, is that guitar solo good? I mean, yeah, we'll talk more about it, sure. But I mean, do not sleep on the fact of what the rhythm section is doing in this song. It's, boy, that swings so hard.
Yeah, this was this may have been like one of the peaks that they've ever reached, to have that underneath the solo. And then it gave, I mean, I think Ed showed probably every technique in his bag of tricks outside of, there's no whammy bar in this solo, but the big bends, there was even
no dive bombs, you know,
there was some chicken picking in the beginning.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was pretty rare. And then obviously it's kind of a tip to the hat to his Holdsworth influence was all over it. So yeah, this is probably, if they've ever reached perfection, this is one of the many times they have.
Perfection, he says.
Hard to argue. What did you think about that section there, Mark, where, you know, nice and soft and builds and builds and builds, and you get this great feeling of tension, and then bang, right back into the chorus.
You know how I said they are versatile and dynamic? It's like, here's a very good example of that, because it feels like a break from the solo, like, we're going to go back into the song subtly, but no, they make you work for it. You know, they make you really tune in, and they keep your attention on it to make sure you don't leave what is in the middle of what's happening right now. It's like, we'll get back to the chorus. We'll get back to, you know, everyone singing along, but first, like, wait for it. You have to earn it. It's a nice, it's a brilliant way to, I don't want to say subvert expectations, because I don't know, at this point, I don't know if that's what exactly they're doing, but they're just showing you that they are, you know, they have dynamics as a band. You know, in case you forgot at this point in their career, in case you forgot how dynamic of a band they were, here's a great example. That those are my thoughts.
And, you know, the contrast from, you know, an insane solo section to building back up to what's going to be another huge, you know, I don't know what would you even label that part as, but yeah, I'm running out of superlatives. It's
like a little prelude, so to speak, or an interlude rather. And almost like the cool down period, like the song as a workout, here's your cool down right before you go right back into your reps. You know what I mean? Or something of the sort. That's what it felt like to me. It's like, yeah, everyone catch a breath, because the song really cooks, and it really kind of doesn't stop until that point. This is like, so everyone, you know, take a breather, get your energy back up, and then we're getting right back into it.
You know what I find interesting too is where it's sequenced on the album. So this came right after I'll Wait, which is a very keyboard heavy song, very straightforward kind of song, right? This is a little more almost jazz like, right? It's kind of experimental in sections. It's more of a jam.
I think maybe that was by design, because maybe they just, I don't know where their thought process was in terms of being keys heavy on this album. We know how a lot of the fans reacted towards it, but maybe they were intuitive enough to know that, okay, we're going to do this keyboard heavy song, I'll Wait, but then we need to follow it up with something that's like going to get people back to, in case some of the diehards are just not into it. They're like, all right, we're going to go take a lap real quick. It's like, all right, well, when you come back, be ready for that next one. So I think that, that order was by design. Personally, I could be wrong, but that's what I think.
Well, I think sequencing matters, especially in the old vinyl days, right? So, he was a master of it. So you look at side B of 1984, it starts with Hot for Teacher, and then I'll Wait, right, and then Girl Gone Bad, and then House of Pain. So that's pretty
that's amazing. Yeah,
age myself. I was told to, when you buy a new album, flip it and start it on side two. So that's how I heard this record.
Opened up. Well, that's a great opener too. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Actually, it's the last song I heard at the gym tonight. I'm doing my lat pull downs and I'm getting pretty tired. All of a sudden you hear the drums. All right, I can do this.
You're like, all right, I'm back. I'm back in it.
I expected a big concert extra. Here comes the cymbals, and then nothing.
Nothing. There goes your expectation subversion right there. Well, but done. I love that they give Alex like that moment where it seems like he was like real, real heavy in the mix right there. That doom, doom, doom. It's like put all the mics on the toms real quick. Let me just do something. And Templeman's like, sure, whatever. Go ahead. That in my head canon, that's how that went. But,
One last point on the sequencing. Yeah. I'm just looking at the singles from 1984. I'll Wait was the second single. It's B-side, Girls Gone Bad. Uh-huh. So even on the single, this followed I'll Wait.
That's amazing. Again, I think I agree with you. Sequencing matters. And I think that was very smart to put that there. As I said, because for those who were not keen on the keys and the synth, it's like, okay, fine. Well, get through that. And then we'll, I guess, reward you with a grand slam smoking, swing style rock song. And if you don't into that, then, if you're not into that, then just, I don't know, give the album to somebody else who will enjoy it. That's the best thing I can offer. So, Girl Gone Bad. There you have it. Not a masterclass in lyric writing, but still enough to get the point across. From 1984, we now move on to the show where we vote on it. So we're all aware of this song. We all have our expectations there. And so now, do we have the same feeling that we had before casting a vote? Josh, man, since you are our guest slash honorary member of the panel, we start with you, my dude. Was Girl Gone Bad what dreams are made of, or was the dream over?
Absolutely. Two thumbs up, all the way up.
He's run out of superlatives. Remember,
nothing. Enough. There's nothing to even debate here. If there's a song that should be 100%, which it won't, but that deserves that 100% across the board, it would be this one.
Yeah, we can safely say it will not be a 100% because none of. I mean, the ones that should be have not been. So at this point, yeah, I think blame it on the trolls, blame it on the contrarians. I don't know. Just, I don't know who to blame it on. Just sometimes these songs just don't land well with people, but it landed with you, Josh, because that's a vote up. And then we move on to Corey. Corey, did this song land with you? Was Girl Gone Bad too bad? And you got to wake up from that nightmare, or was the girl so bad in a good way that that's what dreams are made of?
Well, she don't work for free. The real standout on this one is the band. Like David Lee Roth is fine. He's good on this. Like you said, lyrically, there's not much there. There's only a couple of verses. There's a lot of oohs and ahs, a couple of howls. He's not really contributing a lot. But to me, this is all about Mikey and Alex and Eddie and what they're doing on this track. And they're just fucking killing it. Like, I think this is one of the standouts on 1984. And maybe the whole discography, actually. Like, they're really, really cooking in this section, especially for the first, six albums. To me, this was musically a real standout for me. And absolutely, you got to vote What Dreams Are Made Of, which means it's going to get 65% on the poll. But Mark Meyer, let's see. Can we make it a perfect 3-for-3? You haven't downvoted a song in a little bit here, my friend. Is Tonight the Night, or is this What Dreams Are Made Of?
Well, and I say that because I was very, very close to giving it a slight downvote, just because I was like, there wasn't really a lot that Dave was contributing so hard to where I was like, oh, man, I have to absolutely vote this yes, because like I'm blown away. But musically, sometimes, and that's not to say that Dave's lyrics are bad on the song. No, as I mentioned, like they're very simple. They tell a very quick story. It's very quick because it's not a lot to be discussed there, but sometimes that's okay. In this case, it's okay because he's not doing the legwork. The band is doing the legwork. As Corey said, I reiterate everything that both of these gentlemen said. And I would throw in that, look, sometimes Van Halen just got a Van Halen. And I think they Van Halen pretty hard on this song. Would I put this in my top 10 of Van Halen songs? Probably not. However, if someone said this is top 5 easily, I wouldn't argue, because the song smokes. And if you're looking for just like a smoke show of a Van Halen track and you said it's Girl Gone Bad all day, I'm not going to disagree with you, because all the right pieces were there. I think the unsung here, this is one of those songs where the unsung hero, for me, actually, it's a tie between, I would have said Alex, but I think it's a tie between him and Mikey, really, because Mikey's doing a lot. His galloping, the bass picking method that with your fingers, like call it galloping. He is galloping like the Kentucky Derby on this song. So big kudos to Michael Anthony on that one. But not to be outdone is in the rhythm section is Alex Van Halen. Don't sleep on him as a drummer. I've discussed this on the show many a time that I was sort of lukewarm on Alex at best all these years. It wasn't until going into the show, really diving into these songs, analyzing them and really listening, that I can't believe how wrong I was. So do not sleep on Alex's technique as a drummer, because he will surprise and amaze you with some of the stuff he's doing. It's really, really remarkable. And of course, Eddie Van Halen is Eddie Van Halen. What more could I possibly say about him for this particular track? But it was very close, you guys. It was very close for me going kind of like, I don't know how I feel about it. But the music saved it. And sometimes the music can do wonders if you're not feeling it lyrically, vocally, or whatever. Sometimes just that little bit can save it. And whatever that little bit was for me to upvote it, it worked. Therefore, it's a clean sweep all around. That's What Dreams Are Made Of for Girl Gone Bad.
And now, you know what that sound means?
That sound means Mark's either going to do really okay or really terrible, because Corey likes to make me play this game.
That's right. We're going to find out how many times did Van Halen perform Girl Gone Bad in their career. And we're going to start with Mark Meyer. Mark, how many times do you think Van Halen played this song?
A whopping 150 times.
150. All right. Remember, this is Price is Right rules. You have to get closest to the actual number without going over. Josh, well, how many times do you think Van Halen performed Girl Gone Bad?
I'm going 112.
112? Well, you actually win both showcases because you're within 10. It's 118.
Ooh.
Hey, Josh Caldwell wins it.
Good shot. Yeah.
Good job, my friend. Yeah, 118 times. They played it, obviously, 101 times in 1984 and 17 times in 2012. So it wasn't a mainstay of the 2012 tour, but it stuck around for 17 shows.
It probably cooked a little too hard. And, you know, as the boys got a little bit older, maybe it was difficult. I don't know.
You know, after a certain age, it's hard to get up, you know. I would know. Like, I'm told by John Mariano that after you reach a certain age.
Well, of course, yes. Sometimes when you want to rock, you can rock, but you got to tamper that rock because you can only do so much. Happens to the best of us, I'm sure. But there you go. 118 times, you said. Well, if I don't blame them for not putting it on their main show. Like I said, sometimes, you know, you run out of steam early, and this song sounds like, depending on where they might have put it in their set, they might have run out of some steam, because, you know, they're playing other bangers that go just as hard as this one. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Oh yeah. So. And I'm just looking at a sample set list here. It was deep in the set. It was the 18th after Woman in Love, but right before Beautiful Girls. So.
Oh boy. Yeah. So no shit. They ran out of steam. I would have run out of steam, and I'm, you know, significantly younger, but still, I'm like, okay, cool. We gotta drop one of these like fast paced songs because I'm dying out here.
It was like a Live Without a Net. They did a Get Up and then went into the drum solo.
Right.
Amazing stuff. So there we are. Yeah. Okay. Another one down, dude. Another one from 1984. How many, out of curiosity, I don't know if you have the spreadsheet up already, Corey. How many left to go in 1984 do we have?
You know what? One. House of Pain. The last track on the album is the only one we haven't
look
done
at
yet.
That. So we're nearly... Okay. So there's one album we're nearly done with. We're nearly done with Van Halen 3. We're nearly... I think we're pretty close on Women and Children First, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I think, well, if you look at Van Halen 1, we still got the most on there. I think we have one.
Yeah,
two,
we have
three,
so
four.
Many.
No. Van Halen 2, we got a ton. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, man.
Women and Children, we just got one left, and it's And the Cradle Will Rock.
Amazing. That's...
Two left on Fair Warning. Diver Down, we got a few. 1, 2, 3, 4 off Diver Down.
Got a few on that one, yeah.
Yeah. 5150, we got the three. Good Enough, Get Up, and Summer Nights. Oh, You 812, we've got three left. The Fuck album, we should have a few. Yeah, Pound Cake, Spade, yeah, Pleasure Dome, and Dream is Over and Top of the World. So we got five off that one. Bounce, we got a few. Can't Stop Loving You, Amsterdam, Aftershock, Take Me Back, and Feeling. And then Van Halen 3, we have two left.
Just two. Oof. Yeah. Well,
in a different
kind
of truth, just to finish them off, we got five left on that one.
Oh yeah, yeah, I got five. Okay, so well, it says to me that in our last few shows for this wheel, we're gonna have a good time because we have got so many of Van Halen 1 and 2 to go that I'm inclined to believe that those last few shows are just gonna be, you know, just us having a blast listening to old school Van Halen. Nothing wrong with that.
No, our first spin of the wheel was Van Halen 1. Maybe our last spin of the wheel will be Van Halen 1.
It very well could be. And it still kind of breaks my heart that that Jump is not going to be the last one that we spin because that sounds poetic. Actually, but now I'm thinking it might be more poetic that the last one we spin is our namesake, and that's In the Cradle Will Rock.
Yeah.
So if that be the case, yeah, that would be hilarious. That would be fun, and it would again be poetic. So yeah, let's.
It's not just.
I'd rather not end on. rather not end this iteration of the show on a Van Halen 3 song, but I don't know. In its own way, maybe that's poetic. Maybe if we can get Gary on the show, for that last one. Maybe it'll be okay, but I'm certainly not manifesting that whatsoever, you guys. I'm just calling it like it is. That is not how I want this to go down. I want this to go down in a more fun way. So it's not up to us. It's up to the wheel. It's up to the rock gods above to bring down whatever blessings or misfortunes they want to give us. But lately we've been doing pretty good with that, so I'm grateful.
I think irony would be ending it on spanked.
A little bit of irony, just for the sake of I've been waiting for it for so long, just because I know Corey's not looking forward to it, and I'm just sometimes I worship chaos, and chaos is fun for me. So but all in due time, and that will wrap it up for us, you guys. Thank you so much to the lurkers in the chat, watching us online, our Patreon people. Again, hey, you guys, join the Patreon. We have a Patreon. Look at the tiers we have available for you. Guarantee you, we have something you will enjoy. And if we don't, let us know. Let us know what you want us to do, and we'll make that happen. We'll find a way to make it happen. It will, if the money's right, of course. You know, that's how the game works sometimes. But look, we're not
Mark
above.
Don't work for free.
Mark worked for free for a long time, and it's time to get a little bit back. But nevertheless, I don't want to get anything back if you guys aren't going to have fun with it. So if you have a fun idea for a show, let us know. And if we don't have a tier for it, we can make a tier. That's not hard. So head on over to the Patreon and, show some support. Keep the lights going. Keep us going, because we're having a blast doing this show. And we're having a blast meeting you, the fans, you, the Patreons, everyone, including our guest tonight, Josh. Thank you so much for being on the show again. This will not be the last time we see you. You will be coming up on the show again later on. And we're always happy to have you. We always love your input. Thank you.
Good being here.
Hell yeah. So, you guys, we are not the only ones a part of this sort of a rock and roll podcasting echelon. No, we are part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. And there's a whole slew of them. And you know what? I'm going to let Corey just tell you a bit about the shows you can expect on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. Corey, if you please.
All right. Big breath. Here we go. First of all, myself, John Mariano, and Scott Haskin do a little show called Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. John and I also do a show called Backtracks Theme Music. We just celebrated 1 year on the air with that one. And we celebrated by doing Power of Love from Huey Lewis and the News from Back to the Future. That was a hell of a lot of fun. Of course, Scott Haskin does the show Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. Nate and John are good buddies at the Deep Purple Podcast. The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods, Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, back from a brief hiatus. They're back recording. Good on them. Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, and I tell you, they're doing a whole string of shows for Pride Month here. Everybody go check them out. I listened to part one today. Yes. Fantastic stuff. They talk about their own journey with their sexuality, and they're really getting into a deep dive for Pride Month. Go check that out. Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, Kevin at the Tom Petty Project, and Kevin again with his buddy Randy at Seaside Pod Review, Quinn at And Volume for All, Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at Rock Roulette Podcast, Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu, and please remember all of our friends here as well. You're All Doomed, the Friday the 13th podcast, the DLR cast, the Bogus Oda Show, Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, Dissect That Film, Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast, and the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast. God bless you, Luna. Sleep well, my friend, and thank you all for listening.
And be on the lookout for the newest podcast on the Deep Diving Podcasting Network called All Your Podcasts Are Belong to Me, starring Corey Morissette, because he is taking over the entire...
I'm starting the Corey Morissette Podcast Universe, the CMPU.
The CMP.
And I realize that makes me sound like I stink, but I'm okay with
CMPU.
It.
CMPU. Yeah. Hey, the compu. There we go. Yeah. There like go. Everyone join us. Kevin Brown, I would like a shirt. Designed.
He's working on it. My wife already requested one. He's working CMPU. On it.
Yes. All right. I want that shirt. I want to wear it around town. I want people to see it. People need to know. Yeah. Because Corey is taking over the airwaves. one show at a time. But right. By God, it's going to be all the shows. Just you wait. You can find us at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter and the Podcast Will Rock on Facebook. You find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. Most of the time, I just talk about how terrible my state is, and sometimes some nerd shit, and then sometimes if you catch me in a good mood, I'll talk some Van Halen with you. But nevertheless, go to Podcast Will Rock at Twitter, or at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter. That's usually the most interaction you'll get from us when concerning the band Van Halen. So once again, thank you all so much for being part of this. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Keep on at it. Speaking of my hometown that just breaks my heart but still keeps me going on occasion, June 24th, shameless plug here, the Welcome to the Apocalypse 2023 show. Longtime local band Voodoo Prophet is playing their return/goodbye show in Nashville. They were a mainstay in the Nashville metal scene for quite some time, and they're back together to play a one-off show, probably for the last time. So they're playing a whole slew of all of their repertoire, and they will have a special guest joining them on stage, including yours truly. So come watch me do some vocals for Voodoo Prophet, and if you're not sick of seeing me there, on that same show, we've got a whole cavalcade of other Muppets and wacky musicians playing that night, including Vulgar Display of Nashville, a tribute to Pantera, Rose of Sharon, a tribute to Killswitch Engage, featuring yours truly. We're also featured with some other original local bands, Sidewinder, Cadence, Blackwood, and Summon the Moon, all from the Music City Hero Coalition. All the proceeds will be heading to charity, to help little kids get some stuff that they need, because sometimes kids are out in a big bad way. So come support an awesome show for a band that is saying hello and goodbye all at the same time, and doing it for a nice cause. And it's always fun to get up on stage and perform with some friends. So if you're in the Nashville area, June 24th at the Exit Inn in Nashville, Tennessee, come and check that out. I'm sure I'll talk about it again. And stay tuned for other shows that we've got coming up. So on behalf of Corey, on behalf of Josh, we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.